AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. One more day before we kick off again in fantasy football land, of course, with the Falcons and Panthers on Thursday Night Football. Welcome to the show, Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We're going to go through some waiver wire additions in fantasy football today. Hopefully get you ahead of the game naturally. And Davis says, I await maybe a tropical storm headed my way. I live in Florida. It is November the 9th. I don't know what is going on here. Kids are off from school. I'm told that there could be some bad weather. I'm right back here in the saddle with you, ready to go over some fantasy football today. I can't make this stuff up in Florida. It's crazy.
No, you can't. I mean, just a very turbulent day in the United States. Obviously, election day, crazy stuff happening in the financial sector. And, you know, I'm just plugging my head down at work, figuring out who the best guys are to pick on the waiver wire this week. Not a particularly great waiver wire week, unfortunately. You know, I certainly have some fantasy football teams that could use a couple starters to appear out of the ether. Have not found them at this point, but we are, of course, going to do our best to help out all your teams this week.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. I saw Davis tweet this out yesterday. I would tell Davis, hold on here a minute. Remember, it's Underdog City in the NFL. Don't sleep on the Indianapolis Colts this week. They got a new offensive coordinator. His name, I got to look on the screen every time, I can't remember. His name is Parks Frazier. He's calling plays for the Colts offense this week with Jeff Saturday in tow. I saw 6.5, maybe it's 7-point favorites. We'll see. Raiders waived former first-round pick Jonathan Abram, and there was some chaos last night. Josh Jacobs had to go on Twitter saying, guys, I didn't do anything. I've been sitting in the house all day. Crazy stuff. TCU, they land in the 4 spot in the latest college football playoff rankings. What does that mean? If they run the table, they're getting in the playoff. And boy, Evander Kane taken to the hospital after being cut by a skate blade in last night's game. Hopefully he ends up being okay there. But naturally, still a lot of fun discussion here on the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, come on, Davis, you're a man of the people here. You're not rooting for the Colts to succeed at this spot. This is like your perfect contrarian spot here. Everyone hates the fact of what the Colts are doing. Like, let's shock the world this week. Ellinger throws 4 touchdowns. Raiders lose. We're back on the show next week saying the Raiders are the worst franchise of all time. Why not?
Well, I am definitely stuck in between a rock and a hard place because I do hate the Raiders, right? Hate the ownership. Don't like McDaniels. Have been short on Derek Carr his entire career. But I also hate the Colts. I absolutely hate the way they've built their teams the last couple years. And what's really going to make me mad is if Jim Mersay actually pulls this tank job off and ends up getting rewarded with a Stroud, with a Bryce Young, you know, with Will Levis, with Anthony Richardson, whoever it is that ends up being their quarterback. But you know, I mean, these spots, it is pretty interesting, right? I mean, they have no one on their coaching staff who has ever called plays in a game before. Ellinger looked beyond lost in that game against the Patriots. I would say if the Raiders do find a way to blow this game, that's got to be it on McDaniels, right? I mean, you can't. You're not coming back from this one. We've already had reports of a behind-closed-doors meeting. The Raiders are pretty much out of the playoff running in the AFC. Yeah. There are just too many good teams. You know, I mean, even I think the Broncos are more likely to make a run at this point than the Raiders. And, you know, maybe it'll be Bill Belichick was a genius all along. Don't name an offensive coordinator. You know, don't name Judge. Don't name Patricia as the offensive coordinator because he was just waiting for Josh McDaniels to come home, go and get his money from the Raiders and then come home. And, you know, eventually Josh McDaniels will get the keys to the kingdom in New England. So you never know. You never know.
Yeah. You know what I would say, by the way, to expand this conversation a little bit, if you're Parks Frazier, Davis, if you're Parks Frazier, this is your shot, right?
Like, 100%.
This is your five wides, 50 passes. Do what you literally have 5 weeks or 6 weeks to turn the NFL on its head. Like, to show that basically you can be hired by another team, to have us talking about him in this way. But you and I know what's going to happen in this game. You're going to run the ball 50 times. It's not going to be fun. They're going to be playing to win by 1 point. And I just would like to see the other side of that. For once, just want somebody to come in there and say, this is my shot. Let me get real aggressive. You know, what is Jim Irsay going to do for me in 6 weeks? If we lose the next six games, he's going to fire me anyway. Let it all hang out against the Raiders. But, you know, you and I both know it ain't going to happen.
I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, this guy, Parks, could get a job, right? I mean, he could be the offensive Absolutely. Coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next year or whatever. If he comes out and, you know, he's scheming guys wide open and Michael Pittman Jr. has, you know, 180 yards and two touchdowns and they're you know, playing two running backs at the same time and running the speed option. And it's like nothing that we've seen in the NFL this season, but we know that's not happening. I mean, we know, and Jonathan Taylor's not going to play in this game. It's going to be Deion Jackson and Zach Moss. I mean, I guess Jonathan Taylor could always play. I took the firing of Frank Reich and just, you know, we're not starting Matt Ryan because we need to save the money.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Took that as them saying, let's just pack it up for the year, you know, so I just assume we're not going to see, I honestly assume we're just not going to see Jonathan Taylor for the rest of the season.
Maybe so. You could be right. And listen, this new coordinator, and by the way, Jeff Saturday, have a call to make for the next few weeks. And that is, are we playing for the owner or are we playing for our futures in the NFL? It's a very interesting dynamic to happen. We'll find out what happens. Waiver wire coming up next. We'll go right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm going to get a little help with the waiver wire this week. I did pull off a couple of wins in my fantasy league, so I'm, you know, one league hanging by a thread here, so I definitely need to win out or come close to it. I do have Lamar Jackson, so this exercise, Davis, will help me this week as Lamar is taking a much-deserved week off. Great tweet from the Ravens yesterday on social media with him, you know, that kid hugging him. Great stuff yesterday, Lamar. Good dude, no question. All right, so help me out here with quarterback. Let's take a look at the options here. I have one more to throw at you that's not listed here, but let's go through them here. So I got to replace him with someone. All these guys are available in my league too. Daniel Jones against Houston of the Giants. Marcus Mariota Thursday night against Carolina. I'm sort of hesitant on Thursday night to do anything these days, Davis. Jimmy Garoppolo for the 49ers coming off a bye week against the Chargers. Naturally, I cannot play Deshaun Watson. He is not available either, anyway, in my league. He is suspended. Also, I want to mention somebody yesterday in the league I'm in cut Derek Carr. So that kind of caught my eye, even though, again, I'm pulling for the Colts. I got to be real here. Like, I would think the Raiders are under a lot of pressure here to win, and maybe Waller comes back too this week. So I would add Carr to that list, at least in one of my leagues. Carr's had a miserable year. So let's be clear. He probably should have been cut in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you probably have to go with Daniel Jones here against Houston and kind of just hope that he's able to get it done via the rush a little bit. Don't hate Jimmy Garoppolo against the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers defense has not stopped anyone all year. They of course, you know, just every year the Chargers, they make moves, they trade picks, they spend a bunch of money, and then either the new guys come to the team and they stink in the case of J.C. Jackson, or they come to the team and get injured. Jimmy Garoppolo seems fine. I am definitely, I mean, you know, morally and ethically does not feel the best thing to be doing to add Deshaun Watson. But on good teams, on teams I have that are 7-2, 8-1, you know, looking pretty clearly like they're going to make the playoffs and I don't have a settled quarterback situation, that could be, you know, maybe I picked up Jared Goff, maybe I have Geno Smith, you know, basically teams that missed out on one Mr. Justin Fields. I am definitely picking up Deshaun Watson. You know, I don't think he'll be that great in his first couple games back, but feel pretty good that by week 17, he will be back playing like Deshaun Watson. But I mean, you could do worse than Daniel Jones this week for a streamer, I think.
I had a car, you think, against Indy? A lot of running, you think, in that game?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like the Raiders are going to turn the clocks back. Feels like McDaniels is like, there's only one way I know to get out of this, and that is going to be to just let Josh Jacobs run the ball.
All right, so I'll pick up Jones. All right, let's go to running backs here, and a couple of names very interesting, I think, in particular. Jeff Wilson Jr. is getting some definite red zone opportunities with Miami. It almost feels like that, like his role in San Francisco is now his role in Miami against Cleveland. Cleveland has been poor against the run. Chase Edmonds against Tennessee, if you want to give him a shot, I suppose. He doesn't have a ton of competition there. Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs could be out there on the waiver wire. He's less than 50% owned in all leagues against Jacksonville. And then, look, I think eventually, Davis, Rashad White is going to be something. It may not be until the season is almost over and you can't play him anymore because he's not on your roster in the playoffs. but it definitely seems like the beat writers and the people who cover the Bucks are sort of calling for this a little bit to see more of White.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like literally every single week we get a report from the Tampa Bay beat writers that, oh, Rashad White's going to play more this week. They didn't really lie against the Rams. He did. I think he ran 25 pass routes. Fournette ran 27. I've you know, talked about ad nauseum in this show. The Buccaneers cannot get out of their own way with the early down rushes. I wonder if a Leonard Fournette injury might be the best thing for this team, because at that point you'd be like, well, what are we going to do? You know, establish the run with this third round rookie? No, we're going to let our, you know, greatest quarterback of all time, who's still playing at a very high level, drop back. And you know, I mean, look, they got the ball back against the Rams fourth quarter, yep. 2 minutes left. They drove right down the field, got the win, because they're a pretty good passing team. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco, I guess at this point, needs to be rostered. I personally feel like he's closer to getting benched than to starting, because they've tried to use him in each of their most recent two games. He's done nothing. I mean, he did nothing against the 49ers. He did nothing against the Titans. I'm not like the greatest tape watcher of all time, but Craig, this guy cannot find a hole. It feels like he's running with like a blindfold on or something. He just immediately, every time, is just running right into the butts of his offensive linemen. If Jeff Wilson Jr., though, is out there in your league, I mean, immediate start. Immediate. I mean, he came in 4 days after being traded and was pretty much in a 50-50 timeshare. Mostert was playing a lot of the long down and distance. I mean, it's not going to surprise me if Jeff Wilson Jr. out-touches Raheem Mostert for the rest of the season. So he's deaf. And then Edmonds, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, literally, it's like the Broncos. Like, it could just change every single week.
Yeah, probably not worth a waiver claim or money, but, you know, free pickup just to see. Why not? All right, now let's go to wide receiver here. Now, naturally, it's getting tougher each week, it feels like, Davis, because everyone's sort of a week ahead of the game because of the bye weeks. But maybe Mecole Hardman is out there. He takes on Jacksonville this week. We'll start there, followed by Wandale Robinson. I believe he's fully healthy, and he has looked good his last couple of games. He takes on Houston off a bye week. Donovan Peoples-Jones. It feels like a new Cleveland offensive player is on our waiver wire every week against Miami. And then I guess if Odell Beckham Jr. is still out there, I had picked him up and cut him, and maybe I should have stuck to him or stuck with him, but he is yet to pick his destination. I saw a report that he had talked about several teams. Buffalo was one of them. Obviously, Josh Allen's status, we got to wait on that. The Giants, if he ends up with the Giants, I don't know how great of a pickup that was. So I guess we'll just wait and see where he ends up. But you got to be preemptive in fantasy leagues. You got to pick him up if you want him.
Yeah, I do think you need to be picking up Odell Beckham at this point, because I think there's two things at play. One, I mean, we have seen these guys come back a little bit quicker from ACL injuries. I mean, Chris Godwin, he's only signing with a good team. All due respect to Brian Daboll and the New York Football Giants. I don't think that Odell and his people are going to look at that situation and be like, you know what? The Giants are going to win a Super Bowl. I think they're going to look at the Chiefs. I think they're going to look at the Bills. I think they're going to look at the Ravens. Don't really think the Eagles could use him. So it seems like an AFC team seems more likely. We'll see. We'll see. I definitely, in terms of like ceiling guys at wide receiver that you can pick up off the waiver wire, I don't really think there's anyone much better than that. Donovan Peoples-Jones going to be a good streamer against Miami this week. And Hardman, wide receiver 23 in PPR leagues at this point. Don't think anyone had that on their bingo card to start the year.
No, I wouldn't have had it now, as a matter of fact. All right, let's close out with tight ends. Hey, Cole Kmet starts to, I mean, finally producing in a way that we thought he was for the last 2 years. He looked pretty good, I thought, last week. And goes against Detroit. You know they're going to give up some points. Greg Dulcich coming off a bye at Tennessee. Cade Otton, I got to believe if he's out there in a fantasy league and you haven't picked him up by now, what are you doing? I mean, this guy's getting so many targets against Seattle. And Noah Fant had a monster game last week, Davis. I don't know what that was all about. I remember watching that game, Seattle-Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember who the announcers were, but they were ripping Kingsbury for Arizona's defense, because basically I think what was happening is they were just running the exact same play. They were running Fant to the right and a running back to the left, and there was no one covering them, like, constantly all game long. They're like, you got to get somebody on these guys.
Yeah, Arizona, they're always horrible against the tight end. It's like one of their, I don't know, it's just an institutional thing at this point. Cade Otton, pick him up. Like, this guy plays, like, 95% of the team snaps, and Kmet is a great way to bet on fields in leagues where you missed him, because he also plays like 90%. I believe he's played over 90% of the snaps in every game for the Bears this season. So if you are buying on Justin Fields, feels like picking up Cole Kmet right now is a great way to continue doing that.
All right, stock up on the Bears offense for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at the NBA DFS slate. Of course, no NBA games yesterday because of the election, and we do have a time change in one game today, too. Will that affect the slate? I'll ask David that next. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. 13 games tonight in the NBA, but naturally we have a couple of games that are not on the slate, so I want to be very specific. Now, yesterday there were no games, Davis, in the NBA because of the election, so we're back at it tonight, but one game has already been changed. It's the Dallas-Orlando game. By the way, a game we probably could have used some players in, to be honest with you, with Luka and Ben Caro playing tonight, but because of this tropical storm that's headed toward Florida, and again, sort of where I am a little bit in Broward County, but it feels like, at least from a lot of the projections, a little more up north, it could maybe affect central Florida maybe a little bit more. Again, it's a tropical storm / hurricane. No one really knows for sure. But as we build our lineup tonight, for you, a rare day off of not playing NBA DFS. So how does the slate look for you tonight?
Well, it's always a little bit overwhelming at the start of the year when we get these huge slates. We had a 15-game slate on Monday. That was pretty overwhelming. We got a 12-game slate here with that game that has been moved off the main slate, making it from a 13-game slate. We have a fair few number of questionable tags to monitor, specifically with the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis has missed a couple games with knee tendinopathy. Feels like they're probably just getting him some rest, and they do play at Oklahoma City tonight, so not a game that they're rushing to make Giannis and Jrue Holiday play. LeBron is questionable. Anthony Davis is questionable. Jeremy Grant is questionable, so this is just stuff that we have to monitor. We got Chris Paul questionable. So again, I'm not able, to give you guy. I can't look in the crystal ball and tell you for sure who is going to play, but definitely, I mean, you got to monitor that stuff. Everyone knows at this point, you're playing the lottery with guys in or out, especially this early in the season and with veteran guys on back-to-backs.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get started and take a look at the pricing. We'll start off with the Clippers. Is it a one-man show tonight for Paul George? Possibly so. He's priced at $10,200. Super high total in Memphis's game tonight. So we got Ja Morant priced at $10,100. Same thing with Trae Young of Atlanta. They take on Utah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. $9,900 for Trae Young, who missed the game the other day. DeJounte Murray, who's off to a great start. He is $9,600. Donovan Mitchell is $9,300. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is $9,100 tonight for your Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, Trae Young is, I think, probably the best guard play. He got the night off the other night. I wonder if they might be alternating nights off between him and Deontay Murray. Trae Young and Deontay Murray, both young guys, but Murray was on this same plan in San Antonio where he was not playing every single night. Ja Morant, I think, looks like a very strong option. Should be very low owned. I think Trae Young will be more popular than him. At the same price point, our two most popular guard plays of the night are going to be Terry Rozier, who has really, just taken ownership of this backcourt for the Charlotte Hornets with Gordon Hayward out and with LaMelo Ball out. He's been pretty phenomenal. And, I think that we'll also see a fair few bit of ownership for Fred VanVleet against the Houston Rockets. He's also missed a little bit of time. He should be back tonight. We also have a couple value guards going on. Malik Monk, $4,200 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Javon Carter, sort of surprisingly, has been an important rotation piece for the Milwaukee Bucks. So Giannis hasn't been playing. Middleton hasn't been playing. Middleton still is not going to be back for a couple weeks. And because Javon Carter is a great defender, the coaching staff has come to him and said, look, we can't play you if you don't shoot threes. We want your defense, but you are unplayable if you just won't shoot when you get the ball and you're open. And the other night, he took 12 shots. I believe that might have even been a career high for him. He's 3,900, so I like him. And Darius Garland against the Sacramento Kings, he's back from an injury. He's probably my favorite guard play of the night.
All right, let's move on and now touch on some of the other possibilities tonight. As Davis mentioned, got to keep an eye on Giannis to make sure he plays tonight because you're throwing down 12,400 on him. Now, Kevin Durant in the Battle of New York, usually Durant plays well in these games against the Knicks. We'll see if that is the case tonight for Brooklyn, 11,000. LeBron James, again, had a day off recently. He should be back tonight, 10,400. Jason Tatum at 10,300. There's Paul George again at 10,200. And then Anthony Davis, I guess got to wait to make sure that guy's playing every game in the NBA these days, Davis, 9,800 tonight.
Yeah. Okay, well, first things first, if Giannis does play against the Oklahoma City Thunder, best play of the slate by like a country mile. I mean, Giannis has, it's incredible for me when we see these young guys who are so good, when we see them get better, you know, watching Jokic add a three-point shot, watching Giannis add a jumper, watching Giannis add, you know, new moves close to the rim. It's one of my favorite things about the NBA. With Jason Tatum, right, making that huge leap last year from being third team All-NBA to a guy considered for first team All-NBA. So I love Giannis tonight against Oklahoma City. I also like Kevin Durant a fair bit against the Knicks. I mean, he really is having to do everything for this organization right now. Kyrie not playing, still suspended. Ben Simmons is in, then he's out, then he's on minutes limit. Can't shoot, can't dribble, can't really do anything. It's been all Kevin Durant. And we have a couple value options at the position as well. On the other side of that game from Durant against the Knicks, they're going to need Cam Reddish to play big minutes tonight, probably more than he normally does because they're going to need someone to defend Kevin Durant. Cam Reddish is going to be their best option on the roster. Gary Trent Jr. for the Toronto Raptors. He's really their only guy of their top seven guys who can shoot three-pointers. I mean, Scottie Barnes is working on it, but with Pascal Siakam out, they just need some more guys who can score points. And Devin Vassell of the San Antonio Spurs, just having a great year. I mean, the Spurs are in their own organizational issues right now with the Josh Primo stuff, and they're cutting him, and there's lawsuits, and like, you know, they got guys in and out, and they're starting Kata Bates Diop, and this is a strange NBA season. Just like as I'm saying all these things out loud, like what a weird start to the year. But Devin Vassell, one of the bright points for the San Antonio Spurs. He's kind of just been doing it all for them because they don't really have a real point guard. They're playing Trey Jones. So Vassell's been on the ball quite a bit. And Desmond Bane on the other side of that game against the San Antonio Spurs, probably my favorite mid-tier play of the slate. Desmond Bane, I mean, making a huge leap and will be a huge part of any Grizzlies winning effort for the rest of the year, I think.
All right, and let's finally cap it off with some other options here as we move forward. Now, Giannis, again, you're going to see opportunity to play, as Davis mentioned. Got to get him in the lineup tonight. 12,400. Nikola Jokic is 11,800 tonight. We have LeBron at 10,400. Anthony Davis pops in again at 9,800. Karl Anthony Towns, 9,700. And then Domantas Sabonis, obviously a possibility here tonight, and getting a big discount off guys like Jokic and Giannis at 8,500.
So there's been this really interesting rhythm to this year of NBA DFS. You know, I'm playing all these slates, no slates off. And Craig, you well know Nikola Jokic is probably my favorite non-Thunder player in the NBA. We wagered on this show 2 years in a row. We have wagered on him to win the NBA MVP. And let me tell you, people in these contests on DraftKings, they simply do not play Nikola Jokic. I think the most owned I've seen Jokic be on a slate that wasn't, four games or whatever, has been about 15%. There are a couple things going on there. The first being that Giannis is center eligible on DraftKings, and he always is going to project a little bit better because, I mean, Giannis is the best player in the NBA. We have LeBron center eligible, but then also we always have these value guys at center. You know, Miles Turner, DeAndre Ayton, Brandon Clark, Kevin Love, Obi Toppin. They're just always some guys. So one thing I've really enjoyed doing this season in NBA DFS is just playing Nikola Jokic. And if you play a guy at 12,000, who is 5% owned, you can play all the chalk you want. You know, play Devin Vassell at 30%, play Malik Monk at 35% owned. Then the Spurs have had value guys eligible all year long. So I really, really like Nikola Jokic on this slate. I really like Alperen Şengün, the center for the Houston Rockets, on this slate. And Evan Mobley, priced at 5,900 against the Sacramento Kings tonight. Just anytime that the Cavs get in a close game and they decide they really want to win and they extend Mobley's minutes from like 28, 29, 30 to 34, 35, he can just wreck these slates. So I really like Evan Mobley tonight as well.
All right, interesting. Do you think, I mean, obviously with Kawhi being out, and you and I talked a ton about the Clippers at the beginning of the season, it looks like that's not going to be a great pick, I don't think, to win it all unless something happens, or maybe we don't know something about Kawhi. How about Paul George carrying this team? How long can he do it? Is that sustainable?
I mean, Paul George is a great regular season player. Finished third in the MVP voting his year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are super deep. I mean, part of the reason we really like the Clippers, right, is they got, you know, Terrence Mann and Brandon Boston and all these guys coming off the bench. But our preseason prediction of the Clippers winning the championship, not going to happen unless Kawhi gets healthy, right? I mean, there's just no chance. But they are still, I think, going to be a pretty good regular season team, especially now that they know Kawhi's not available and they can just settle into their normal rotations and play guys as they would if Kawhi wasn't on the team. I still think they're going to be a good regular season team, but no championship aspirations without a healthy Kawhi Leonard.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye, of course, on the NBA, and we'll review that tomorrow as well on the show. But coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality and the Sports Grid 60. We'll discuss Tom Brady, some of his comments about his former team. So stay on the grid for that. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today. Davis and Craig back with you in just a couple of minutes here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. For those of you who are on social media, especially on Twitter, follow us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, not to mention some announcements, which you can find there today. And boy, pat on the back for us as all of our impressions and views and watches took the biggest jump from last quarter to this quarter in the history of the company here at SportsGrid. So a lot of you are watching and participating, and thank you so much for doing that. We appreciate it. On our little fantasy show here, 1 hour every day, 11 to 12, before we get to some fantasy reality, Davis, let's get the latest on Josh Allen. I know that there is some updated news on him. He's arguably one of the most important players in all of fantasy football, not just for him, but for also the players around him. What do you think the latest is with him, and how could anything be affected? When I see the line this week, it almost seems to indicate that he's playing 100% because this line basically hasn't moved, 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I think there was a small movement in that line after the rap sheet report came out yesterday, which is that Josh Allen does have a slightly torn UCL. Right now, the Buffalo Bills-Minnesota Vikings line is not available on several sports books. It's been pulled from availability. So my guess is that we are going to hear this. This is where I'm at. It's you know, it's early on Wednesday morning. Lots of time left to come. My guess is Josh Allen sits out one game. My guess is they look at it. They kind of do the cost benefit analysis. Like, you know, this guy's got to be our quarterback for the next 15 years. Let's take the long lens here. And I'm sure, by the way, Josh Allen wants to play. I'm sure that's going to be a real argument. Like, he definitely wants to get in there. But it's setting up kind of nice because you know who the Buffalo Bills backup quarterback is. It is none other than the Minnesota Miracle quarterback himself, Case Keenum, playing with his Minnesota Miracle teammate, Stephon Diggs, of course, against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I don't know. The Bills still probably win this game, I think, with Case Keenum. And Craig, you know, obviously I bet on the Bills last week. Clearly, the only reason why I lost was Josh Allen got hurt. You know, it had nothing to do with, you know, being on the wrong side or anything like that. It was just because Josh Allen got hurt. But I wonder if they just run the ball a little bit more. I mean, you would assume play a little bit more, you know, two tight end type stuff. I imagine Josh Allen not playing is just going to make this not that enjoyable of a game. But what a big shakeup. Well, I think we've seen the biggest informational change from this come in the futures market. All Dolphins futures changed this week, right? Tua went from being like 30-1, 40-1, all the way down to, I believe on the FanDuel Sportsbook, I believe he is 8-1 to win the MVP now. The Bills are actually favored to win the AFC East now. It's pretty, pretty crazy. I mean, and losing this game, losing this out-of-division game would be pretty bad for the Bills' futures.
Yeah, a couple of things here. First being that this morning I woke up and picked up Case Keenum, just in case something like this was going to happen, because I feel like maybe he's a better option than all those other quarterbacks that we talked about this week. But the other thing that I would have for you before we get to fantasy reality is I talked about this, I believe, yesterday on Newswire. Davis, if Allen does not play, this line was Buffalo -6.5. Do you think Minnesota's favored? I think Minnesota may be favored in this game going into Sunday if Allen is out. Not a lot, but like a point or two. I think he's worth that much.
I mean, I think he's worth a lot. The Buffalo's defense is also really good, and they were missing Jordan Poyer and Matt Milano last week against the Jets. I wonder if those guys, I mean, I don't even know what their specific injuries were or if they're going to be available this week. But if they're fully healthy outside of Allen, I bet it's close to a pick. I bet it, but I think you're right. I mean, Josh Allen, I would say in terms of value to the spread, I would say like, Mahomes number one, Allen number two, probably Herbert number three, just because of how awful everyone else on the Chargers roster is right now. But it's, yeah, Allen's got to be, I don't know, 6-7 points to a spread. I think you're right.
I think if it was a pick 'em, all the money would come in on Minnesota. So I think Minnesota's going to be favored in this game this week. Maybe a point and a half or two. That would be my prediction. We'll see. We'll find out later today or tomorrow, depending on what happens. Okay, enough about that. Let's get to what everyone's waiting for. It's time for fantasy or reality. Interesting dynamic going on in the Bay Area right now, Davis, where, of course, the commissioner of Major League Baseball discussed the strong possibility of Oakland losing the Oakland A's and potentially moving to Las Vegas. We know Major League Baseball wants a team there. It's going to happen eventually, whether it's an expansion team or whether it's a team moving. And then a week later, we kind of found out, hey, let's walk that back a little bit. Oakland's still trying to find a home. We've talked about this area in the Bay Area called the Howard Terminal, where there is the land. And they're just trying to figure out a way to keep the A's in Oakland. And that came out yesterday. It's still a possibility that the A's will stay. Boy, does the commissioner win this one here? I don't know. It feels like he's sort of ready to move this team out. Has not said the same thing, by the way, about the Rays. He's very confident, has said that they'll get a stadium built in Tampa as opposed to St. Petersburg. So let's throw it out there one more time. I feel like we've done this a couple times. Let's try again. Fantasy or reality, the Oakland A's will remain in Oakland moving forward.
I got no. I mean, it just, to me, this is an all-time where there is smoke, there is fire. No one goes to the A's games. The A's aren't even a particularly, I mean, they're actually not even particularly, they're just a bad team now. And the Moneyball stuff, the Moneyball magic has sort of, you know, and they spend no money. So the Moneyball magic has sort of left. I mean, it'll be sad. You know, the A's are like a pretty storied Major League Baseball franchise. And I hated their counterpart, right? I did not want the Oakland Raiders to move to Las Vegas. I still think it's kind of stupid. So this will be, kind of a dark day for baseball. And I feel bad for the 2000 A's fans who were going to games this most recent season. But I got fantasy. Too much momentum. They're leaving.
It is a shame. This is a place that I've been to, and I've been to games, and they have very passionate fans there. I may want to add that. They're playing right now in the worst ballpark by far in Major League Baseball. Like, I understand that a lot of folks don't like the Rays Stadium in St. Pete, and for good reason. I've been there too many times. But, I mean, it makes Oakland, looks like, the Ritz-Carlton at this point. They have all kinds of sewage issues going on there. I sort of think, I know it's going to sound crazy, Davis, I sort of think the final straw was Bob Melvin leaving. Like, Bob Melvin was like an institution in Oakland, and they were winning all those games with him there. And I understand all the free agents left and Simeon, and they all bailed. And, after they almost made the playoffs 2 years ago, but I think they've given up. I do. I think they've given up. It's just not a sustainable product. They finally took that huge step back last year, trading everyone and actually losing a lot of games too. And I think we're in line for Vegas. I don't know about Nashville. I know that was a possibility with Dombrowski leaving the way, but then Dombrowski left that group to go take the job with Philadelphia. I am going to say fantasy. I think Oakland is going to Las Vegas, and look how successful it has been for Vegas. And a lot of the fans from Oakland go there for games. The proximity is close enough to do a quick flight. I got fantasy. I think we're seeing the end of A's baseball in Oakland, but still two more years probably playing in that stadium for sure. It's going to take some time. Okay, interesting comments, Davis, here from Tom Brady. Of course, Brady does a Monday night show every single week with Jim Gray. And boy, the New England Patriots are having a really good season, and I guess Brady is keeping in touch with that. Hasn't really talked too much about the Patriots, by the way, in the past. The Bucs are having all the success, but now that they are not, he's opened up a little bit more by saying that he has been watching New England every single week and watching all their plays and watching the games when he can too. The Bucs play a lot on primetime, so why not? Fantasy reality, you buy this. Tom Brady is impressed by his former team, the New England Patriots.
I mean, if he is, he's lying, right? I mean, or maybe lying to himself. I mean, what is impressive about this Patriots season? I don't really see it. They are last place in their division. I guess maybe not really last place in their division, because they'll probably beat the Jets this week. So that is kind of fake. I mean, the offense has been pretty underwhelming. They are, dead middle in the NFL in yards per play. I guess maybe he was impressed by Bailey Zappi, the Zapp storm. He got zapped. I don't know. No, come on. Anything nice, because that is, he must just be having a weird time in life. Just everything for this guy, topsy-turvy, 20-year career, he's playing with a different team, his team stinks, he's divorced. Like, he just got to be having a tough time.
Yeah, I have reality here. I think he watches the games, and if he's going to watch a game, he watches the Patriots. Patriots win. And I don't know. I don't think that's cynical at all. I think he is impressed with however they are winning. And on top of it, I think that, Davis, the other point that you made is correct. He's going through a really tough time. I mean, his personal life has been put out there in ways that you just don't see professional athletes out there a lot. Now, for celebrities, of course, this is like, this person's married this person, and J-Lo and Ben Affleck and all these other actors are marrying this and divorcing this. You don't see this a lot with athletes, especially on the scale of Brady. And it's been, I would have to guess, a very miserable year. What is happening? He's coming to the end of the line. I don't know if he wants to keep playing or not, Davis, but I mean, maybe he will, just because now he just can if he wants to. But he also has to endear himself a little bit back to New England now, because when it's all said and done and they create that bust, I guess I don't think that they put a hat on these guys like they do in baseball. But he's going into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Patriots. I mean, that's all there is to it. Some nice stuff for Tampa Bay. Got to keep that relationship strong with New England. So him and Bill Belichick, maybe, by the way, both go in the Hall of Fame at the same time. Who knows? Bill Belichick could retire after this year, too. We have no idea. I will say reality. He is impressed by the Patriots. All right, finally, the air fryer. Boy, has that become something very popular. Thanksgiving time, we're going to be hearing a lot more about this. People love now to fry up their turkey as well. I know I have one in my house, so I can definitely speak to this. Fantasy or reality, you use an air fryer at least once a week.
Pretty close to once a week. We got an air fryer for our wedding, I want to say it was a wedding gift. It might have been a Christmas gift, probably a wedding gift. And we, you know, we're a household, we live in the Midwest, Craig. We love potatoes in this house. And let me tell you that just a cube, diced, whatever, air fried, you know, throw three potatoes in the basket, set it on high, cook it for 20 minutes. I mean, it's about as good as it gets. It's very easy, very efficient, not hard to clean. I'll say we average over the course of a year. Definitely we would average one use of the air fryer per week. So I got reality.
Yeah, we have an air fryer that sort of took the place of our toaster oven. So it does a lot of different things. You can toast, you can bake. I think it counts. We use it every day. We use it every single day. My son loves those chicken nuggets, those pre-prepared chicken nuggets, but I don't think they're very good cold. I don't know. But we heat them up every day and we use the air fryer, and it's quick, it's painless, and they taste real good. So yeah, this is a reality. But Davis, for Thanksgiving, I think we're more on the traditional side. I don't know that this will be the way that we go for that, I think. But anyway, how about you guys? You let us know. Do you use an air fryer? Hit us up at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. We got to take a quick time out here on the show. The SportsGrid 60 is coming up next. I'm back in the house with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire, as long as this weather holds up here. Miserable day today in South Florida, that's for sure. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Reminder, 2 o'clock Eastern, back in the house for Newswire. We'll get the latest on the state of California and all the elections as it pertains to sports wagering. But first, let's check in with Davis as he closes us out with today's Sports Grid 60.
We touched on it a little bit in the show yesterday, but I do wonder if tight ends being removed as a position in fantasy football might be coming. There are four guys right now at the position who are averaging double-digit fantasy points per game or more. And when Travis Kelce either retires, you know, isn't on the Chiefs, just whatever. Like when Travis Kelce really returns to the pack, who's left, right? Mark Andrews with Lamar. Maybe Kyle Pitts, maybe someday, you know, I don't know. I mean, Kyle Pitts still a phenomenal player, but we'll really see. To me, I think the game would be more fun with the position removed and those guys treated as wide receivers. It's just, you know, and that's the way college football fantasy has been done forever. No tight ends required on most platforms where you do that. So I do wonder if we are heading in that direction, because they're like the biggest busts in fantasy.
Yeah, I think we need to. I mean, I don't know how you fix this. Maybe flex, including tight end or not. I think that's the easy answer in some of those leagues. Let me go back to Josh Allen for a minute. This is one of the most undervalued things happening right now. And Davis mentioned it before. A ton of bets are coming in on the Miami Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. I've talked about it a ton here. I'm not a Dolphins fan. I have no impartial to the Dolphins. But you need to be betting the Dolphins to be winning the Super Bowl right now. You need to be betting the Bengals and the Ravens to win the Super Bowl right now. If something is up with Josh Allen that could potentially hamper his future, you're not getting any value on the Kansas City Chiefs. They're probably going to go to the Super Bowl. But how about that other team? Take that team, they get to the AFC Championship, start hedging your way all the way through the end to the Super Bowl. Boy, if this is legit with Allen and there's an injury that could hamper the rest of the Bills season, why are we not reacting right now? Feels like this is not being talked about enough. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to our graphics department, LTN, Michael, Brett, for Davis. I'm Craig. See you soon.